Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And we're going to continue here going through our study. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We've been looking at verse number 4 over the last couple of episodes, which says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." We've been looking at this issue of the Apostle Paul talking about the fact that he and all of those who were ministering with him, and by extension, all of the members of the body of Christ, have been put in trust with the gospel message that was given to the Apostle Paul. And that gospel message is the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Believing in that and that alone for our salvation, that's the gospel message that was given to the Apostle Paul. This is the gospel message that he, several times in his epistles refers to as my gospel. And as he's talking about this issue of being put in trust with this gospel, being put in trust with the message for this dispensation, he starts talking about the issue of the communication that comes from us that is not pleasing to man, but that it's pleasing to God. Because the things that are pleasing to man really are not going to be the things that are pleasing to God. We looked, in the last time, really especially at some of those things that are really pleasing to mankind, and how all of those things really are so dangerous as they pull people farther and farther away from God's Word, pull farther away from what God intends during this dispensation. And we see when Paul describes what it is that God wants, and we'll look over here, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, where we're going to see Paul is going to lay out exactly what the will of God is here in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. We see here verse number 4, and it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." The will of God is, first of all, that all of mankind would receive salvation. God wants this message to be going out. That's why you see in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, as he talks about, committed unto us this ministry of reconciliation, speaks of the fact that we are ambassadors for Christ. We're the representatives of God here on planet Earth, carrying forth this message. And this message, first of all, has the issue of salvation. And then once somebody is saved, that second part of it is the fact that God wants individuals to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants man to come to the understanding of exactly what the Word of God says for individuals today. God doesn't want people to be ignorant of what His Word says. This is why when you see Paul in his last epistle, and let's go over to 2 Timothy here, because this is the last epistle that Paul writes. And when you go through this epistle, you see how Paul gives some warnings about how individuals are going to turn away from the truth of what Paul has been teaching. He starts to name individuals who have turned away from him. He describes in chapter number 3 the condition that the local assembly is going to end up in. And that condition really lines up with that idea of the things that are pleasing to men, because it's the local assembly is going to look exactly like what the world looks like today, or when this is going to occur. And Paul, you know, looks at it, he gives that warning, this is what's coming, but then he doesn't leave it there, because he gives Timothy, you know, the solution, the, you know, here's how you're going to prevent this from occurring. And we see that when we go over to chapter number 4 of 2 Timothy, and we'll start right here at verse number 1. It says, I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And you see Paul giving this word, and it's a charge that he's giving to Timothy. You know, charging him that these are the things that you need to do in order to prevent, you know, the bad outcome for the local assembly. And the Apostle Paul starts that charge with the idea of preach the word. Keep the focus on the word of God. Because if the focus is on the word of God, it's the word of God which is going to produce faith. It's the word of God which is going to edify. It's going to build up individuals. It's the word of God that's going to teach the members of the body of Christ the truth that they need in order to stand fast in the sound doctrine that is going to allow for people to keep away from the things that would tear down the local assembly. And that's why Paul's saying, you know, I'm going to keep teaching this word, I'm going to keep communicating this information that's been given to me by the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to charge you that you're going to be carrying this message out. You're going to keep giving this truth out. That's why you see even in this epistle where he starts talking about how to take this information and give it to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Keep giving it to individuals so that way they can go out, they can teach this truth, and the word of God, rightly divided, can keep going out. The gospel, the grace of God, can keep going out, having an impact on the world today. Because the Apostle Paul talks about what he saw his responsibility as when we go over to Ephesians chapter number 3. And we'll see Paul actually make a statement here about exactly what's going to happen and what it is that he wants to see, what it is that God intends to have happen. And here in Ephesians chapter number 3, we start here verse number 7. It says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul talks here, and he's saying that he sees his responsibility is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And defines what is the information from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. The information that he describes and calls it the unsearchable riches of Christ. And it's the unsearchable riches of Christ because you cannot go anywhere outside of the epistles of the Apostle Paul and find the truth of the doctrine for this dispensation being taught. You can't go back into, for example, the book of Genesis and find the gospel, the grace of God. You can't go into the book of Matthew and find the gospel, the grace of God. You can't go into the book of Psalms. You can't go into the gospel of John. You can't go into any of these places and find this information. This is the information that was given directly as Paul describes here. And I'm going to read in Galatians chapter number 1 when he describes this in verses 11 and 12 of Galatians 1. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel message that's given to him came directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's unsearchable, and it's the thing that is pleasing to God, and it's the information that's committed unto us to be going forth and teaching this information. We start with the idea of, you know, as it lays out what God's will is, it's God's will that all men would be saved. So we start with preaching the gospel. Once somebody has accepted the gospel message, and that's the gospel message that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 3 and 4. Once somebody has put their trust in that, then that second part kicks in of to come unto the knowledge of the truth, teaching individuals the doctrine, so that way the Spirit can communicate with the Spirit that's inside of a man, teaching individuals that information, so that way they can come unto the knowledge that God intends for them to have. And without salvation, the Spirit's not inside of them. The Spirit cannot teach, because it cannot compare to spiritual things or spiritual if it's not inside of the individual. And it only gets there once somebody has put their trust in the gospel message. That's why Paul focuses so much on that idea of, you know, putting trust in the gospel. It's pleasing to God. And then he just finds God as the individual that says, which trieth our hearts. You know, that's the thing of where God is able to see exactly what is inside of an individual. You know, we really only know or think we know what's going on with an individual based on the fact that, you know, whatever is coming out of them, you know, what you see, for example, in Matthew chapter 12, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, you know, but you know, God is able to actually see inside of an individual and know exactly what is going on with them. God is able to see this and tries the individual. That's why you see, as it describes the idea of prayer, let's go over to Romans chapter number 8, where we'll see the Apostle Paul actually talk about how it is that prayer actually works in this dispensation. And here in Romans chapter number 8, we're going to start here, verse number 26, says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, when you see the Apostle Paul speaking about prayer in his epistles, you know, one of the first things you see him, you know, describing is the fact that we're to be praying for all things. You know, so there's nothing that we should be, you know, saying, well, you know, I can't bother God with that, or I'm not really supposed to pray for those things. And individuals try to limit that and say, well, you know, you're not supposed to pray for physical things. You're only supposed to pray for the spiritual things, because the physical things, you know, were Israel's program. The Apostle Paul defines this as that we're to pray for all things. You see that in Philippians chapter number 4. But when you see Paul actually describe exactly how this works, you see that it's the Spirit that's helping us in our prayers. Because the reality is that we don't know what we should be praying for as we ought. So the Spirit is actually making intercession for us with the idea of prayer. And it says in verse 27, "He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit." So the idea of what happens is we offer up a prayer. The Spirit, you know, takes that prayer based on the knowledge of what God is able to see inside of the individual. The Spirit makes an intercession and really, in a sense, offers up the prayer of what exactly it is that we need. And God responds to the prayer that's being offered up that has been, in a sense, translated by the Spirit and offered up as, here's exactly what this member of the body of Christ needs, and God responds to that. You know, this is the struggle individuals have, because they'll look and say, "Yo, I think I need this," and they'll keep praying for something over and over again, and then they say, "Well, God's not responding to it. God is not giving me exactly what I'm asking for," and so they'll say, "Yo, God isn't answering my prayer." God is answering the prayers of a believer. No is an answer, because the Spirit has interceded in the life of, you know, that individual by offering up the prayer of what exactly is needed. God is responding to that, because God is tries the heart of the individual, understands exactly what's going to happen. You know, for example, if somebody prays and says, "You know, God, you know, I need $100 million in order to, you know, survive. And if I have this $100 million, you know, I'm going to devote my entire life to the ministry. You know, I'll quit my job. I'll build this, you know, giant church for, you know, the dispensation of the grace of God. You know, and we'll have all these resources to be able to preach this message." And God looks at the individual. He tries the hearts and sees that, you know, that's probably not going to happen, because, you know, that love of money is going to eventually pull them away from this message. And that prayer isn't answered, because the Word of God is going to try the individual. That's why we see how the author of the book of Hebrews describes what the Word of God does. And let's go over to Hebrews chapter number 4. Because you'll see the author of this book is going to say something, you know, relevant to how the Word works related to the issue of the heart here. And in Hebrews chapter number 4, we're going to start here. We're going to read verse number 12, which says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God, you know, is what's revealing what's inside of the individual. And the Word of God reveals it because the Word of God points out the failures of man. The Word of God points out, you know, this is where man is going to, because the reality of things, and you see over in the book of Jeremiah, where it describes that the heart is deceitfully wicked. What's inside of a man is wicked and is outside of the things of God. That's why you see the description, and you see this several times in the Old Testament. For example, you go to 1 Samuel chapter number 16, to where we see that Samuel is going to record something here, and it's going to be a description of, you know, this is the choosing of David as the king, that who's eventually going to replace Saul here. And in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, we're going to read here verse number 7. It says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Now, this is really a very relevant thing, because when you see the description of, you know, how Samuel was looking at things, because Samuel was looking at based on the fact that, you know, Saul had been the first one that had been chosen to be the king over the nation of Israel. Saul was the individual that, you know, completely looked the part. You know, he was this tall individual. He was someone that looked like, well, he is a leader. And, you know, Sam was looking and saying, well, okay, we're choosing the next one. So he's using this same measuring stick as, well, you know, this is exactly what, you know, God's looking at. That's what man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance of things. And God's saying, well, you know, that's not how I'm looking at this. I'm looking at what is inside of the individual. I'm looking at, the reason why he chooses David is because he knows that David is going to be an individual who's going to remain faithful to what God has instructed him to do. Yes, David makes mistakes. You know, the whole thing related to Bathsheba was a major mistake that David made. The reality is that he pulled himself together. He brought himself back into alignment with what God's word said for him to do. You know, we can go over, let's go over to the book of Psalms. So go to Psalm 7. And we're going to see again where it's going to be this description of, you know, God looking on the heart of the individual. And here in Psalm 7, we are going to read verse number 9. It says, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins." God can see what is going on inside of an individual. He sees that, you know, there are things that are, you know, good about an individual, which mostly it's not, because as we talk about what it says in the book of Jeremiah, that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Jeremiah records several times the issue of the hearts being searched. We can go over to the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter number 1. So where we're going to see again this issue of God trying the hearts. And here in Acts chapter number 1, this is the choosing of the apostle who's going to replace Judas. And we know that it's not the apostle Paul, because the apostle Paul's not given the responsibility of, you know, being here for the kingdom on earth. And the restrictions that are put on the individual earlier in chapter number 1 of the book of Acts. But you see here in verse number 24, it says, "And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." And then the result is that the lot falls on Matthias, because Matthias is the individual that God has chosen based on the fact that he sees the heart of the individual. He sees what's going on with this person. He knows if they're going to be faithful or not. And he picks the person who's going to remain faithful to the program. And that trial keeps happening related to the Word of God, which is why it is that the Word of God needs to be preached. The Word of God is what the focus needs to be on. And always when we talk about the Word of God, we understand that the Word of God always has to be looked at from the principle of right division. We have to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Understanding that we can only apply the doctrine that we find
starting in the book of Romans and ending in the book of Philemon to ourselves today and apply that doctrine to our lives in order to be pleasing to God. Now, in our next episode, we're going to start verse number 5. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have links to some audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live on Facebook. We also have information about how you can join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call information. And always, if you ever have questions, comments about anything in these broadcasts, anything you see on our website, anything you hear in any of our other messages, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. Until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.